You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and well, the Great Reset, one reset or another, is on the way. The question really is, whose are you going to wind up with? Klaus Schwab's, or one that actually serves to lessen your debt load and actually benefit society rather than our self-appointed digital and other masters? Ellen Brown, it's great to see you again. Haven't talked in quite a while. Reading your recent article you wrote on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, and that's a liberating day of sorts. And you've got an alternative plan to Klaus Schwab's. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, Gary. Great to talk to you.
All right. So just briefly, tell us what Klaus Schwab wants for your future, for our future.
Well, it's been called a technocratic feudalism. The most famous meme, infamous meme, is that you will own nothing and be happy. Supposedly, we will be happy. We will be kept happy with drugs and computer games while we are unemployed and AI devices of various sorts are taking over the jobs. So the idea is we will be on some form of central bank digital currency that's programmable. So if they don't like what we do or what we say or maybe what we put on the internet, then they can cut off our money altogether and we'll be living on some sort of a minimal budget, and we'll be renters. We will own nothing. And then the question is, how are they going to get us to give up all our private property? And they're doing a pretty good job of it already with the lockdowns and cutting off the supply chain. I just saw that Egypt has already come out with a digital ID that you can use to get your rationed food, because they already have a food crisis there. So that seems to be the scenario that we may be facing.
Yeah, well, I was thinking when Klaus Schwab said you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, I figured what you'll actually have are NFTs, which will be your ownership for everything. Maybe that's what he was referring to.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they're going to do the money, but I'm sure it's not going to be good for us.
Yeah. Are they going to pull it off, or will it be a revolution?
Well, we can't. How do you even do a revolution? You can't take to the streets anymore. They've got various ways of calming us. I mean, people are taking to the streets all over the world, but they're also getting slaughtered doing it. So, and clearly we have to get control of the government, but how do we do that? That's the question. It's all a political, it's all coming down due to political decisions. So we need different political decisions. The lockdowns, for starters, 200,000 businesses in the U.S. were shut down. Small and medium-sized businesses, they're the ones that do the produce most consumer goods. So naturally, supply is down. Then we've got supply chain crises for other reasons. Sanctions are being blamed. Well, it's that Russia is being blamed right now, but it's really sanctions that are triggering the supply issues. That we can only buy with rubles, and nobody wants to pay with rubles. So anyway, it's looking kind of bleak, and but there are other ways that we could fund our economy. It seems to me right now, obviously, the Federal Reserve is trying to raising interest rates and cutting off their money pumping money into the economy. They're pumping money onto the balance sheets of banks with their quantitative easing. So they're cutting all that off. And theoretically, that's supposed to lower inflation, but that's not going to work because it's not a monetary inflation. I mean, it's, you've got two sides to the equation. You've got the money side and the supply side, and it's a supply chain crisis, and that's what we have to address. So what we would need, Alexander Hamilton had a similar crisis at the beginning of the United States as a government. So the states were heavily in debt, and he had persuaded Congress to assume the debts of the states, which were previously the colonies. So what Hamilton did was roll those debts into bonds that were used to capitalize a bank. It was the first U.S. bank, but it was really an infrastructure bank. It wasn't a central bank of the sort we have today, where the goal is to maintain the banks. The goal was to was productivity. And the second U.S. bank, for example, funded the Erie Canal. I think that was the most impressive thing they did. But it was all about development and infrastructure and productivity. And we have a bill on right now, not we, but I mean, there is a bill on right now, the National Infrastructure Bank Bill 3339, H.R. 3339, and they propose to fund it by the same way, by to capitalize it with bonds. If you turn, just hypothetically, if you turn the entire U.S. $30 trillion debt into bonds, you would have, and you leveraged it at 10 to 1, as all banks are allowed to do, you could have a $300 trillion bank. I mean, you could do everything you needed to do. It always reminds me of that old joke about when we had the hurricane in New Orleans, and the joke was this spaceman came down and said, "Oh, you've got a mess here. What happened?" And he said, "Well, we had a bad hurricane a few months ago." And the spaceman said, "Well, so why haven't you fixed it? I guess you don't have the workers or the materials." And they said, no, we have the workers and the materials. What we need are these little green pieces of paper to get the workers and the materials together so they can build stuff." And so the spaceman says, "Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life on Earth." So, I mean, we've got the resources to we've got a huge infrastructure problem, and we've got the resources to fix it. What we don't have are those green pieces of paper. And clearly, we can generate them the way all money is generated in the U.S. today, which is by banks as credit. Credit that's obviously been abused, but if it were properly used, that is the American system, to fund things with sovereign credit and sovereign money. So that would be my proposed solution.
Okay. Well,
one of many.
It sounds reasonable. You know, we've got some states that are doing extraordinarily bad, mostly lockdown states in the Northeast, in the Midwest, in California, the West Coast. And then we got states like where I live that are doing phenomenally well, like Florida, Texas, a lot of the southern states. Arizona is booming, Tennessee booming. A lot of them are low tax states, but a lot of them were states that didn't cross that bridge of just shutting everything down and hoping everything would be fine. So how do we leverage the lessons of the states that are thriving against the lessons from the states that are basically failing?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Torque Resources is an exploration company establishing a portfolio of premier copper gold early stage projects in Chile. Torque's management and technical teams have a strong track record of raising capital, discovery, and monetization of exploration successes. The company's Margarita Copper Gold Project is located within the prolific coastal Cordillera Belt in Chile, which hosts some of the world's largest and most profitable copper mines. The Margarita Project possesses excellent discovery potential for a major copper discovery due to the strength of the alteration system, large-scale magnetic targets, and the presence of copper oxide mineralization. Drilling is anticipated to begin in Q3 of this year. Torque trades in Canada under TORQ and on the OTC under TRBMF. To learn more, go to torqueresources.com. That's torqueresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Well, it seems like it is a mainstream media problem. I mean, we need to get that information out there. When you know what's really happening, it becomes obvious what the solution is. But we can't seem to get that information out there. It's blocked or it's censored or it's,
just suppressed, out and out suppressed.
Yeah, suppressed. So it's, we got a political problem and we got a propaganda problem or a media problem.
Did you ever think you would live in a country where information, news, all the facts you need to make somewhat informed decisions wouldn't flow naturally, that they'd be blocked by people who think they know better than you?
And no. And in the past, we've had book burnings and ways of blocking information. And today, what they can do, like I have many books on my Kindle. Well, all they would have to do is they can manipulate your Kindle from afar and they could just blot out everything you've got there. And they've obviously done that on various social media. And the argument is, well, it's private and we have control over the information that goes over our private servers. But so we need some sort of public information, it seems to me, that everybody can get.
Right. Well, information really is a public utility, isn't it?
It should be. Information, money, credit is a public utility, should be. So my thing is public banks. I'm chairman of the Public Banking Institute. The National Infrastructure Bank would be one of them. And I live in California, and I totally know what you mean about Florida versus California.
Yeah. But
we do have a thriving public banking movement among our city banks anyway.
Well, there's hope, right? There's definitely some hope. You know, it's education, and the state of education in the country is shockingly poor right now. But as more and more failures occur, people tend to get smarter. If you know anything, you learn from mistakes, you learn from failure. Everyone does that except the government, right?
It does seem the government is another beast altogether. Another proposal. So there's central bank digital currencies, which are frightening because they would have control of your bank account. And we've already seen that they can turn off your bank account, which they have done, for example, against the Canadian truckers, just for, objecting to standing up to the government in some way. But there's a new idea, which is e-cash, which is digital, but it's like cash. In other words, it can't be traced. It's anonymous. And you don't even need the internet to transfer it. So, and they've already got it in China. So you can, I guess you would need some sort of electronics in order to transfer it, but it's like a card that's you go to the bank, you get your card, it's got your money on it, and then you use the card and that balance goes down and it transfers to the other person's card. So I think that's promising. I also think the government itself should be able to issue money directly, as that was what Abraham Lincoln did when he was faced with a huge debt. And Roosevelt during the 1930s and 1940s used the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, which was another bond-funded thing. But basically, you're recycling the credit of the country into building things, like specifically using this credit only for productive purposes, not for speculation and financial gain that's not producing anything.
And when I spoke to you in the past, you always held up North Dakota's State Bank as a perfect example of how well something like this can function. Although putting New York's politicians in charge of a state bank is really, I don't know, it's like giving the kid the keys to the Lamborghini along with a fifth of Jack Daniels. You know, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, well, but you also need a judiciary system. And unfortunately, we're not judicial third, I guess now there are four branches of government. But anyway, the third branch of government doesn't seem to be working so well. But if you bake that into the law that it can only be used for certain things, and, you know, you have ways of making sure that it's not manipulated by politicians, as in North Dakota, which is, as you know, a conservative state. I mean, we're not talking rampant socialism in North Dakota, but it's a model that works for them and could work, I think, properly circumscribed.
Yeah, you know, the socialist take on that is, let's just create an authority that can issue bonds. We'll take the money, we'll build infrastructure, we'll build bridges, tunnels, and all that. And then that model worked like fairly well for about 70 or 80 years. And then in the 80s and 90s, places like New Jersey and New York figured out how to scam the money out of those authorities and use it for public transit, but, you know, all sorts of ill-founded projects. So I guess what it is that entropy sets in. All institutions that man sets up at some time or another become corrupt, right?
Corruption sets in, yeah. So you need to set up a system that the worms can't get in. And
So hard.
Not so easy. Hard.
Hey, you have any books out there for us lately, Ellen?
I've got 13 books, but three on this subject. So the latest is called Banking on the People. Before that, The Public Bank Solution and Web of Debt.
Right. I know. I read Web of Debt. It was a great book, a real contribution. And all right. Well, I guess you help elucidate, focus in on the problem. And you actually and you got a good solution. So a solution that needs to be tried, because everything we're doing now is failing. And it's not just repercussions in the United States, although those have been quite severe. It's all over the world that this this turning is going on here. So it's not just for our children and our grandchildren. It's really for the future of the world.
Our humanity. I agree. We could be losing our humanity at the rate we're going. So
true. Well, I urge all of you to go over to Ellen's site, ellenbrown.com. And while you're at it, get to her latest book. If you got a question for Ellen, shoot me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. Ellen, it's always a pleasure. It's always interesting talking to you, one of the few people that actually has solutions. And we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Carrie. Great talking to you, too.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.